Our passage for today comes from the book of Revelation, found in the seventh chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 9 of the seventh chapter and down through the end of the chapter. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and worship and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, therefore. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." I think it's great sometimes to spend time in the book of Revelation. This week and next week will be sermons both from the book of Revelation, but I want to give you this as an upfront. This is not about the end times. Okay? I'm not going to discuss the end times. I want to look at today especially, what does this worship in heaven look like? And who is participating in this worship? That's more important to me. The image of being there and being present is a wonderful image to step into and to experience. And this is not the only passage in Scripture where we find worship services like that. Isaiah experienced that in chapter 6. His call, his understanding of what it means to worship God comes from that chapter. And here in this chapter, there is a great deal going on. It does happen during the midst of the tribulation. I want you to understand that. Okay? This passage describes heavenly worship while they're opening the seals. There's seven seals that are open, seven trumpets. There's a lot of imagery that happens in the book of Revelation. And sometimes people have taken this imagery to mean so many different things and not so much looked right at the passage itself, but have interpreted it to mean so much more. Today, I want to look at what this means about this worship. This passage describes the worship that's happening in the midst of the tribulation. What's going on and what's happening and what's being detailed during that time. First, we have the elders, we have the angels, we have those that are surrounding the throne. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to be there some days. I can't wait. One of the things that gets me sometimes is people, when you ask them, "How are you today?" and they look at you and they say, "Well, I'm on this side of the earth," instead of being buried. And I want to ask them sometimes, what does your Bible say about when we get to heaven? Because when we get to heaven, the picture is so much better than what it is here. Amen? So why should I ever say, well, I'm on this side of the earth? Because when I die, I will go to heaven to live in the midst of this situation that we're seeing here. Absolutely incredible. People praising God, people worshiping God, and the end of the passage has some incredible benefits in it. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. What a day. What a day that will be. When for all eternity I stand in the Lamb's presence, the one who is also my shepherd, who leads and guides me, but the one who makes sure I have all that I need to eat, all I need to drink, and the heat will not bear down upon me anymore. That's wonderful, isn't it? What a wonderful image and a wonderful place, singing songs. And I'll warn you, they do sing new songs in heaven. For those of you that love to tell the pastor, I don't like those new songs. There are numerous places in Scripture that it says when they get to heaven, they're going to sing a new song. Thank you, Brother Jerry. They're going to sing something completely different. Can you not wait to learn a new song? I know some of you right now are going to tell me, yes, I can wait. But what a great experience. This is going to be an incredible experience, is it not? But one thing I want to look at about what's happening here, and that's why I chose this picture as a backdrop. The multitude contains people from every nation on earth. After this, I looked, John said in verse 9, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, all there, all believers, all who have come to worship the shepherd, come to worship the Lamb, all there together. There is no nation that will not be represented somehow. I'm sorry to tell you this, Baptists are not the only ones going to heaven. Sometimes we think that, don't we? Our particular way to do things means we got it right and that we're the ones that are going to be right. Well, guess what? I have met Christians in every Christian denomination. Every one of them, I have met Christians that I admire, that I look up to, that I know will live in God's presence forever. So, us Baptists ain't the only ones that got it right. Because there's going to be people, what does it say? From every tribe, every language, every group that we can think of. Even those who don't speak English. Even those that we look at and sometimes look down upon. They will be there too. You see, there's not anybody left out. God wants everyone to be saved, no matter who they are, and no matter where they live in the world, no matter how they were brought up, no matter what social class they're in, no matter whether they have money or don't have money, it doesn't matter. They'll be there. And this is the thing that really kind of gets me when I look at this, that I will be able to experience some of the sisters and brothers that I met when I was in Kenya. I'll get to see them again. I'll get to see that lady that, I can't remember her name right now, but I'll get to see that lady that looked at me and told me, coming and visiting with you today was more important than everything else I have to do for this coming week. And I felt about that big. Because she told me she started classes in the morning with children in, I think, at least two different grades. And I asked her, are you fully prepared for tomorrow? And she looked at me and said, no. Coming to visit with you was more important. I'll get to see her again. I'll get to see Elizabeth, who told me when I asked her, we got there after 5 months of rain. They only have rain 1 month out of the year in a normal year. They had five straight months of rain. Washed out roads, landslides, buildings lost, lives lost, families lost. And I asked Elizabeth, I said, are you mad at God for all of this? She said, no. We prayed and we asked God to end the drought to bring us rain. And we got 5 months of rain. So God answered our prayers. I said, you're not mad about families being lost, buildings being lost, roads being... She says, no. God answered our prayers. And I said, what have you learned through this experience? And she told me, and I'll be glad to sit down and talk to her again. She told me, we learned that next time we pray, we tell God how much rain we want. And I was like, how practical. How practical. I get to see her again. I get to see a little girl in a pink party dress that danced to her heart's content while another group sang a song as a gift to us. And what you need to understand is that she came through a hedge that had thorns on it that were this long. And somehow she got through that hedge and danced while they sang. I looked back over at the people and looked back again, and she was back through the hedge and gone, and I haven't seen her since. One day I get to see her again. I get to see the sisters and brothers that I met when we were in England last year worshiping at a Baptist church there. Wonderful people. The only thing that they told me was that they knew I wasn't from England or Scotland. And I asked them, well, how do you know that? And they kind of looked, well, you kind of talk different. But wonderful people that we spent two Sunday worships with. Folks, there are going to be people from every nation. Do you understand what Scripture is saying? Every nation, every walk of life, no matter who they are, they're going to be there worshiping along with us. We're not going to be separated in different rooms because we believe this way and they believe that way. We're all going to be in the same crowd. Think about that. But here's what I think about for now. Rarely do our churches look the same. Rarely do our churches look the same. We often are all people from the same walk of life, the same nation, the same race, the same language. But I throw this out there because I know there's people in our community that aren't. There's people in our community that come from different walks of life. You guys have welcomed me well to this community. I'm a beach bum. I'm not a mountain person. I'm looking more like a mountain person, but I'm a beach bum. And you have welcomed me here well. You know, there's other people in our community that didn't grow up around here, that didn't even grow up in this nation, that didn't grow up with English as their first language. And I guess the question I just have, are we reaching out to them? Because sometimes if I recognize that and I understand that, some of these people are only here for a time and a piece. They might end up going back to a country I can never get in and take the very word of Jesus Christ back with them. Because I helped them find that relationship with Jesus. And here's one of the things that I'm aware of. When we pray, what do we pray? Every week we pray this. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I am so, so thankful to three young men. They're not young anymore. They're my age. But I'm so thankful to three young men who in my time in the early 80s were considered beyond preppy. They were trying to be high class society in college and dressed in their polo shirts or their Izod shirts or dressed with button downs on. And all three of them reached out to a guy with long blonde hair and said, "Let us tell you about Jesus Christ." You see, I wasn't anything like them. If anything, I was the complete opposite of them. And they took it on as a task to establish a relationship with me, to build on that relationship, and to invite me into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wondered what it was like when they went with me somewhere. Because they would come and ask me and say, "Tim, what do you want to do tonight?" And I would try to push their boundaries. And I would say, "Let's go do this." "Sure, we'll be glad to do that with you." And then finally I realized, because they were reaching out to me in such a way, with a relationship, with a love that God has for me, they were the first ones that ever told me about Jesus Christ. I made it to age 18 without anyone ever telling me that I could have salvation. And even though I looked different than them, talked different than them, acted different than them, I guess they took me on as a project. What do you think? Because of their love, I came to Jesus Christ. Even when I didn't look like them and didn't come from the same social class as them. And even when I talked completely different than them in some ways. You know, we pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If this worship service in heaven contains everybody from every nation, every race, every language, every tribe, should we not be reaching out to invite them in? To teach them how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that they might have salvation? Those who are homeless, those who don't really know how to take a shower. I wonder, should we be reaching out in different ways than we do? So that this community that gathers here on this street corner would be a prime example of what the worship service in heaven would be like? Because there's people in our community who need Jesus Christ. And we need to reach out to them and approach them in every way that we can. First, to establish a relationship with them. That's what those three guys did for me. I didn't really want any friends. They didn't give me a choice. They wanted to be my friend so that I could receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I guess the weird thing I'll tell you is they never invited me to church. Not once. I'd spent so much time around them and gotten into a relationship with them, I started changing my ways because I knew they weren't good. And they had patience with me. And then I did some detective work to find out, you know what, they go to church. Maybe that's the difference between them and me. I'm going to show up at church and surprise them. I showed up in my gray three-piece suit with long blonde hair to a casual college church. I don't think those guys heard a single word that was preached that day because they were laughing the whole time the way I was dressed. But it began a deeper relationship with them, and it eventually brought me to Jesus Christ. What an incredible thing. So here's what I want to say. When reaching out for God, we must reach out to all people. Everyone we meet and greet, we need to reach out to them. You've heard me talk on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings during our discernment time. The people in the bank are not part of the machine to get me money. The people in the fast food joint are not part of the machine to get me food. They're people. They need a relationship with God. Do you walk into the bank to talk to them? Do you try to make sure you get the same person in the checkout line every week so that you can establish a relationship with them that might bring them to Jesus Christ if they don't know Jesus Christ? Do you get talking to the people in the fast food joint and find out who they are and call them by name because they're a person? And they may need Jesus Christ. You see, when reaching out for God, we need to reach out to all people. Because this image right here in Revelation chapter 7, in the midst of the tribulation, says that there are people from every nation, race, language, tribe. Every one of them. Are we reaching out the same way and trying to establish relationships to help people come to God? For me, relationships are key. I very rarely, the first time I meet somebody, talk to them about Christ. And I very rarely tell them I'm a pastor. Because as soon as the word gets out that I'm pastor, they treat me differently. Some for the good, and some for the bad. It's about reaching out, folks. If we're going to be part of a heavenly kingdom that looks like this, don't we need to be doing that? Reaching out. So I want to ask you to think about this week, How can you better see all people for God? All people. Yes, even the person that irritates you. Even the person that you don't like the way they're dressed. Even the person that does things you don't appreciate. Are you seeing them for God? Because the scriptures tells me that God's heart is for their salvation. Are we seeing them the same way? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you today acknowledging that sometimes we have a hard time seeing people. Sometimes they're part of the system, they're part of the machine, they're part of the mechanics to get what we want. Sometimes they're of a different language. Sometimes they're a different race. And sometimes, Lord, they come from a nation that we don't trust. But the truth is, Lord, you let us meet them. And maybe you let us meet them so that we can reach out and make a difference. Lord, I don't know who we're going to meet this week. But I do know that each one of us is going to be in a different area of this town, maybe the state, maybe even another country this week. And maybe somehow a conversation that we have to establish a relationship and start might change somebody's life forever. Help us to be your people that reach out and that lead people to the salvation that you bring through Jesus Christ. Lord, allow us to trust the Holy Spirit and bring us the words we need, if we need words, when we meet these people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.